Blog Talk Radio.
Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour,
And yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We want you to know today that, as always, that this message that God has given us and the message that God has given us to empower you, to give you faith, to believe God, to stand on God's word, and to know that there is nothing too hard for God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, dear God, for the great and the mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. God, today we thank you, God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word, how we hid in our heart that we would not sin against thee. Father, have your way today. Move in the midst of us. Touch us, God, today that we can be revived. God, that we can be restored. God, that we can be healed. God, that we can be made free, God. God, that we'll have that liberty in you like never before. And Father, we just give you praise even now. God, we call upon your name, a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. And for this, we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We're getting ready to go into the word of God, and we can just expect for God to do great and mighty things. We can expect for God to build our faith. If you are ready, if you have everything prepared, your mind, come on, and you are ready to receive the word of God, we want you to invite you to this meal of today, because the word of God will be able to fill the innermost parts of your soul and to build your faith. We want today to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to be coming from 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. Yes, it is in the Old Testament. And we thank God that the word of God never changes, but the word of God brings illumination, brings light to those that are in darkness, those that are suffering, those that don't have hope, those that don't know where they're going to get their next meal. They can know that we have a God. The God that we serve, he is able to make a way even in the wilderness. So today we want to go to 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. We're going to begin at that first verse, and it reads, "Then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, and the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leopard men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall to the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." I want to just put a comma there, and I just want you to go back with me and just look at what God is saying and what God is doing, and what the man of God has spoken to the people. to the king's man that was in charge. And because it tells us that, and we're speaking about the prophet Elijah, and he is speaking the word of God, what the word of God is saying, what God is saying, and what God, we have to take what God is saying as being the infallible truth, that it's being the word of God. And when he prophesies, when he speaks to us, then we got to have an ear to hear. And when he speaks to his prophet, we need to take heed, and we need to hear what the word of God is saying. For it says, then Elijah said, hear you the word. Come on. Hear you the word of the Lord. Sometimes we are not hearing what God is saying to us. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And hear the word of God, say, hear you the word of the Lord. Elijah is letting them know, hear the word of the Lord. He says, thus saith the Lord. This is what God is saying to you. See, we need to be made plain. And we must take what God is saying to us as the word, that word that will not change, the word of God that is true and right. So this is what Elisha was saying to them. He said, tomorrow about this time, tomorrow about, not the next day, but he said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. Now this man was close to the king, and he leaned upon him. He depended upon him and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? So he didn't believe it. He didn't believe what the prophet Elisha was saying and speaking unto them. He said, might this thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it. He let him know. Elijah said, oh, you're going to see it. You're going to see what I've already said was going to happen. You're going to see and you're going to know it's true. But you will not eat thereof. You're not going to eat it. You're going to see, because why? Because sometimes we don't receive the blessings of God. We're shorted. We don't get what God has promised us because we don't believe God. We don't stand upon his word. We don't say, yes, Lord, thank you for the promises. Thank you for your word. But this man, he didn't believe it. And the prophet let him know, oh, you're going to see it. And it let him know it's going to happen about the same time on tomorrow. But sometimes when people go through different things in their life, and they're not ready to believe God, that God is getting ready to move on their behalf. Sometimes when they go through things in their life, sometimes people go, they say, I'm going through a hard time. I'm distressed, I'm depressed, I've gone through some, I'm disappointed, I have been forsaken. If I tell it to you, if I tell you right, I'm weary, I'm lonely, and not only lonely, but I'm depressed as well. I have a lack in my life. I'm experiencing failure in my life. I'm tired of waiting on what was promised to me. But then the word of God let us know that we got to wait on the Lord, and we got to be of good courage. He said, if we be of good courage, he will strengthen our heart. But we can't get up at the end. We can't begin to say what God is not going to do, because then we're calling God a liar. But here we see in that third verse that it says, and there were four leprous men at the entry end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Sometimes we can stand in a place or sit in a place of complacency, and we don't see things happen in our lives. Things are not changing. It seems like things are not changing. It seems like things are not getting better, and we'll just sit there. We'll just stay there. We'll just get more and more depressed and more defeated. And so, therefore, we see here that as we look at the word of God, these lepers, come on, because it was a place because they had leprosy, and they had they weren't really supposed to be among the other people. But here we see that the leper men, they were at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why see we here until we die?" That came up with that was a great thought in their mind. Why are we sitting here? Why sit here and until we die? Why sit here and wait on death? Why sit here and wait for something that may not be good to happen to us? So they decided, no matter what kind of disease they had, no matter what reason they were there, they decided that, they're saying one to another, why sit here until we die? Why wait here? And then they said in that fourth verse of the 2 Kings 7th chapter, they said, if we say we would enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. They knew there was a famine. They know that they knew that it was a lack of food. They knew that even the city that was going through difficult times, hard times. They was lacking of food, things that was nutritiously would be able to feed them, and even the people there was going through a very, very difficult time. They said, if we enter, we will enter into the city. Then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. Because they knew that they were not only they were sitting outside the gate, but yet they were thinking, if we sit here, then we're going to die. We're going to die also. And here the word of God say, now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Come on. They was like, you know, I believe that their faith. Now, if they were scared before, we're not going to be afraid anymore. If we are afraid to die before they have made up their mind, we are no longer going to sit here. And that is something that we need to talk about, too, this morning. That you may be in a condition, you may be a downtrodden, maybe out, you know, it may be, you may be put out of your home, or about to be put out of your home, or whatever condition it may be. And me, and even as I say, you may have gotten weary, but just don't sit there. You know, when you're sitting down, you know, the blood can't even really circulate like it should through your body. You remember, you know, sometimes you may be sitting down, and then because you sit in that same place and you're not moving your legs, you're not moving a part of your body, then the blood, you get a cramp sometimes when you get up because your circulation is not, is poor. So, therefore, they decided that we're going to go into the camp of the Syrians. And they say, if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. What is else going to happen? We're not going to sit here anymore. And we got to think within ourselves, no matter what kind of situation that you're in today, you got to know that I'm not going to stay in this situation. I'm going to believe God. And I know that even what the word says, this is when we can fall back on the word and know what the word of God says. Because when you look at Psalm, the 37th chapter, when you look at Psalm, it tells David said, he said, I have been young, but now I am old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So when we can go back to scriptures and know that would give us serenity, give us peace, give us hope, then we ought to do that. Because even when you read in the Word of God in the 23rd Psalm, it reads the Lord is, not was. See, that's why we need to keep connected to God. That's why we ought to have that divine connection. When it says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So that let me know that whatever I need, that God will supply my needs. And God will supply the needs of the people if they can only trust him, if they can only believe him, if they can only stand on his word. So here, the lepers, they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. It wasn't anybody there. Look what they were doing before. Before they made up their mind to get up, they could have sat there and they could have died. But they made it their mind, oh, we're not going to sing any longer. We're going to go and they're going to either help us or that we're going to die. But whatever way that we're leaving here, come on, we're going to get up. We're going to do something. And when we began to look at that word, the word of God, in that sixth verse, and for the Lord has made the host of Assyrians to hear the noise of chariots and of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Oh, the God is the miraculous God. He is the almighty God. He still works miracles. Don't you see Israel? At that time, they were there in this place, and it was a famine there. Don't you see how they needed food, how they liked the thing, and the enemy there was on the outskirts. The enemy was sitting there, and they had what they needed. But the people that was on the outside, the leprous people, and also, the Israelites, they did not have what they needed. So they decided that they were going to go into the camp. And when they went into that, they found that the Syrians, they had already gone. They had left. But the interesting part about it, and the reason they left, is that they heard a noise of a chariot and a noise of horses. Even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Oh, look what God did. It wasn't even so. But God let them hear. God let them hear these noises, the noises of the horses. Come on. And God let them know it's like it was believed that it was a great host coming against them. And so Israel's enemy left all that they had, and they had fled. But look how God moved upon those separate men hearts. They moved at the right time. They didn't stay there. Yes, they could have died, and food was so close to them. If they had not, they left where they were, they would have died there. Come on. But yet, they left. They decided they were going to get up, and they were going to go into the camp of Assyria. And when they got there, it wasn't anyone that was there. And here we see that the reason the Word of God tells us, the reason why they left, that the Syrians had heard a noise like a chariot and the noise of horses, even a noise of great hosts. And then that's when, again, they began to say to another, they thought it was the king of Israel had hired somebody to come against them. My God, what a God we serve. Sometimes we don't give God the credit that we ought to give him. We don't thank God the way that we should. We don't believe God the way that we should believe God. Sometimes all we see is the situation at hand. All we see is what we're going through. All we see is when we look in the cabinet and we may see just a can of pork and beans. And then we just look at those pork and beans as this is the last can that I have. Oh, my God. And don't see, and you and your finite mind don't see that the cabinet is full. Don't see that God is able to fill this cabinet. God is able to fill that refrigerator. God is able to put what you need inside of the meat, the pork chops, the steak, the sirloins, all of these things inside of that refrigerator and line your cabinets with food and give you the monetary money that you need in order to survive. Because when we belong to God, God let us know that he owns a cattle, not one cattle, but he owned cattle upon a thousand hills. And so there, if he owned these cattle, which he does, then it let us know that he's not poor and that he can take care of us. And he could make provision. Look what he did to these Assyrians. Israel wasn't coming against them. But God made them think that they were. They made them think that they had hired the Hittites to come against them. They thought that they had the king of Israel had did this, but it was all the doing of God. And in that seventh verse it says, Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. So they were so afraid. They didn't take time to get out of anything. The word of God telling us what they left. They left when they left and fled in the twilight. And they left their tents. They didn't try to take them down and take them with them, but they was afraid. They left the horses and their asses, even the camp, and it was, and they fled for their life because they was afraid. God made them afraid. God made them flee. He would make your enemy be your footstool. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink. They hadn't had anything to eat. They hadn't had anything to drink. But because they got up, because they stopped sitting down, because they just stopped talking about the situation and did something about it and went into the camp of Assyria, come on, they were able to go in and they were able to eat and drink. And then the word tells us that they didn't only ate and drank. They didn't only eat and drink, but they just gave the carry from their silver and gold. They even left their silver. The enemy left their silver. They left their gold and their raiment, the things that they had, the clothing, they left those and went and hid it. So then here they was able to, the leprosy, they was able to get what the enemy had left. And when they got it, they went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent. It was just so much that they had. It was just like Christmas time. And I believe that, I don't know what kind of Christmas you have or had. But many times when people have Christmas, they have to get many gifts. But I'm telling you that this thing was better, I mean, because of the fact that God has did a miracle. God has opened a way for them, opened a door for them. God has built their faith. God has let them know that he is in control. And no matter what the enemy tried to do, God is still in control. For the word of God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, but they soon shall be cut down as the grass and withered as the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good. And that's what God wants us to do, to trust in him. God wants us to do good, to trust in him and to do good. So when we began to look at the word of God here in that 8th verse again, it says, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry from their silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent. I mean, they was having a good time. I mean, they was rejoiceful now. They wasn't sad anymore. They had food. They had raiment. They had gold. They had silver. And they took it and they hid what they was getting out of the first tent. Then they went to the next tent. And then they said one to another, we do well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light. Some mischiefs will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They were getting ready to share what they, the good, share what had happened, and let them know that the Syrians was gone. So they came and called to the porter of the city, which was a gate city, they kept the gate of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there were no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and the tent as they were. And he called the porter, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto the servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. And they knew they was hungry. Therefore, they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. See, this is what the king thought, the king of Israel. He thought, well, the Syrians, they knew very well that these people was in a famine. They knew that they were hungry and they needed to eat. So his ideology, the king thought that they were going to hide. And they were going to set a trap for them. And they will hide out in the fields. And when they came in, then they would catch them alive and get the city. But here in the 13th verse of that 7th chapter of 2 Kings, the word of God says, and one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray you, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitudes of the Israelites, and they are consumed, and let us sin and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Now he decides, we're going to go and see. Is the truth what the leprous men, the 4 leprous men, were saying. And they went after them to Joel, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrian had cast away in their haste. And the messenger returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and to measure of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trotted upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. God always keeps his word. The prophet told him that he was going to see it. He didn't believe that there was going to be food that next day. He didn't believe that there was going to be plenty. But the prophet let him know, Elijah let him know, you're going to see it, but you're not going to have any of it. You're not going to get any of it, because he didn't tell him he was going to die, but that's what essentially happened, because when the gate, the king had, he was the keeper of the gate. The people were so hungry, they was like at the state of starving, and they were all they wanted to get to the food and get to what the Syrians had left. And they, you know how somebody like a stampede, like they have Walmart, you know, and they're trying to get in there. They're trying to get these clothing when they have these midnight sales or 5 o'clock in the morning sales. You have to be very careful, because the people will stampede you and keep going. And what happened? The man of God, he had given, the Lord had let them, the man of God had spoken to this man that he wasn't going, he was not going to, he's going to see it, but that was going to be it. And that man was stampede. These people was trying to get something, and they didn't even care who was standing in their way. All they wanted to do is get to them. So we see that our God is a mighty God. We see that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. No matter what we think, no matter what the enemy try to make you think, we got to always remember that God is in control. We have to always remember that God has all power in his hand. We have to remember that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And I like saying that because it's so true. And God just proved himself even this morning again, what he did for the Israelites, how he made the Syrians flee. It wasn't the Israelites of Israel coming against them, but God let them hear this great noise, and they thought they heard horses and all of this stuff, and they flee. They left everything, almost everything they had, and that was the hand of God. God moved on their behalf. God knew that the battle does not belong to them, but the battle belonged to him, and he was well able to fight every battle. So today, we want you to put your trust and your confidence in the Almighty God. And know, even when things seem like they're not going the way that you think they are, if you pray, if you intercede before the Most High God, if you ask, for the word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said, to seek and ye shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. If you ask God, if you trust him enough to take care of you, he will take care of you. No matter what you see, there are testing times in our lives that we are tested to see whether or not do we really believe God. Remember, Abraham was tested with his son Isaac. But we have to know that the God that we serve is able to take care of us. We're getting ready to go through to the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Dear God, we thank you for the great and mighty things that you have done. We thank you for the word of God that you allow us to bring today from 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. God, we thank you for the miracle. We thank you for the miraculous. We thank you for the compassion. We thank you, God, for coming to the aid of your people. We thank you, God, for not leaving them nor forsaking them. God, we thank you, God, for letting them not continue in the same condition that they were in. But God, you brought them out, God, with a strong hand, Father, and a stretched out arm. Father, we just give you praise, God, even now. And Lord, I thank you for our radio audience, for the people, God, that are listening over the airway, God, no matter what city or state that they're in. Lord, I pray, God, that this word of God has been a faith builder for them, a stepping stone for them. God, that they can be secure in the things of you, to know, God, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and I ask you, God, to touch them right now and give them what they need this day and this hour. God, if there are some that are not saved, Lord, I just believe your word, because, God, you are able to save to the uttermost. God, your word says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. You said, God, that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I ask thee, God, to do it even now. I ask thee, Lord, to touch us, God, to give us life through the word, God, to stir up our heart, God. Cause us, God, to believe your word like never before. Father, in the name of Jesus, and Father, we forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour. Would you please join us on next week, on Wednesday, as we again fill your faith through the word of God, as we again take you to the throne of grace, that you will know that our God is able to do anything. May God bless and keep you is our prayer, and may you join us on next week as we again come and preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. May God bless and keep you is